welcome. It's time once again for the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you today. Well, welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. As Paul just said, I'm your host, Doug DeFeller. I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999, and I have been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California, all under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me at 714-726-8354. Well, I'm going to solo it today. We've gone through quite a few guests lately, and there was a topic that really has been something I wanted to talk about, so you've got me for the afternoon. And our topic for today is coaching. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. The five W's and the one H. Well, my point is, why is it that when people ask what is coaching, the response always starts with a description of what coaching is not? That just drives me nuts. You know, it sort of goes like this. What is coaching, Doug? Oh, you know, it's not consulting. It's not mentoring. It's not training. It's not therapy. Blah, blah, blah. Or even worse, the response is a detailed list of what coaching doesn't do. You know, I can't think of another situation where we fall into this trap. For instance, if I ask you what kind of car you're driving, you don't tell me, well, it's not a Ford or a Chevy. No, you tell me what it is. And if I've never heard of that brand and want more information, then you proceed to give me more detail on just what it is. Well, our objective here today is to create a definition of what coaching is, define how it works, and identify what it produces. It strikes me that if we can't even describe what it is in a compelling way, then why should anyone want to buy our services? That's how I stumbled into the five W's and the one H. Those are questions whose answers are considered basic in information gathering. They constitute a formula for getting the complete story on any subject. And we're going to take a look at the response to each one of those questions as they relate to coaching in an attempt to build a better definition of coaching. A definition and a story that will make people want to use coaching services now. Let's start with some real-life examples to see if we can identify what coaching is in action. You know, I've often found in business coaching or business leadership that one of the problems that we frequently have is people don't have a good role model. They don't have someone to emulate. I never worked for a good supervisor. I never had a good manager. So I got to thinking, okay, if we have trouble describing what coaching is, where did I see really good coaching that would help me describe what it is? Let me talk about, and you've heard me talk about this before, I'm an Apple product nut. I like to buy all of their goodies and toys, the iPads, the iMac, the iPhone, the iTelevision, whatever it is. But one of my favorite products, and one of the reasons I buy Apple, is their $99 a year one-on-one membership. What this does is it lets me have as many appointments as I want for a year with an Apple specialist. I can choose to schedule a group session, or I can schedule a one-on-one session for up to an hour. And I'm always impressed by the one-on-one sessions because the specialists refuse to touch the keyboard. No matter how slow or how confused I am about what they're training me on, they refuse to touch it. They are truly doing hands-off teaching. As I thought about this, I thought, what a great example of coaching. But then I thought some more about it and thought, you know, I don't think this qualifies as coaching since I'm there because they are the expert and they're really focused on teaching me how to do something. However, they're using a coaching style of teaching. That is, they're making me do the work. Well, look for another example. This kind of came up in our radio show last week with our guest. We got talking about physical trainers, you know, and many of us have hired a trainer to get into better shape, to lose weight, to build muscle mass, whatever. And the question I ask is, when you went to the gym, did the trainer lift the weights or did the trainer make you lift the weights? Is this coaching? I don't think so. But again, they use a coaching style in their training. That is that they hold me accountable to do all of the work. I got to thinking how silly it would be for me to expect the experts to lift the weights or to work the keyboard so I could get in better shape or learn how to work the computer better. And yet, when we come to business coaching, it's not unusual for the client to look to the coach to give them the answers to the problem that's being worked on. Spoiler alert, that is called consulting, not coaching. You know, if the coach gives the client the answer, what has happened is that the problem may have been solved, but the client's learning on how to solve that type of problem usually doesn't happen. The objective of coaching, and this is key, the objective of coaching is not to solve the client's problem. What? Then why are they hiring us? The IFC, the International Coach Federation's response to that is to say that it's the coach's responsibility to discover, clarify, and align with what the client wants to achieve, to encourage the client's self-discovery, to elicit client-generated solutions and strategies, and to hold the client responsible and accountable. Boy, that's kind of a mouthful. But let's just go back over that for just a second. The first statement was to discover, clarify, and align with what the client wants us to achieve. This recognizes that many times the client doesn't even know what they want to achieve, or frequently what they hire the coach for. Once coaching starts, they identify with the coach's help that may not have been the key issue that they really need help on. So the coach works with them on that. The coach works with them to encourage client self-discovery. The coach works with them to elicit client-generated solutions and strategies, to hold the client responsible and accountable. None of this sounds like what a consultant does. If I was hired as a consultant and said that, well, I'm not going to give you the answer, I'm going to help you discover it yourself, I'm going to help you generate solutions and strategies, and I'm going to hold you accountable to do the work, you'd kind of look at me and go, what kind of consultant are you? But that's what a coach does. It's very difficult. It's very common in business coaching for experienced business coaches to get caught up in the trap of solving the problem when that's really not what we're there for. Let's go back to the 5 W's and the 1 H question and see if we can look at those and help define what coaching really is. The first W is who? Who is involved? Well, the coach, of course, and the client. However, the client definition may be a little tricky. It is the person being coached, not the person paying for the coaching. It may also be more than one person in the case of group or team coaching. And in group coaching, it's always the members of the group and the group itself as if it was a separate entity. You know, the elephant in the room many times in group coaching is the dynamics of the group which need to be coached as much as the dynamics of the individual participants. The second W, what happens in coaching? Well, the coach works with the client to discover, clarify, and align with what the client wants to achieve, to encourage the client in self-discovery, to elicit the client-generated solutions and strategies, and to hold the client responsible and accountable. Just the points we made earlier on. That's what happens in a coaching environment. Did I say that we solved a problem there? No, I didn't. What we did is the client solves the problem. Where does this happen? The third W. Well, it may involve face-to-face coaching or phone coaching. Both methods work equally well. The client's preference or physical location probably dictates which method or combination of methods will be used. The fourth W, when does the coaching happen? Well, the obvious answer is during the coaching session. However, many breakthroughs are or aha moments in coaching occur outside of the coaching session when the client has absorbed the coaching and starts to practice the behaviors that were discussed. The last W, why did it happen? Coaching accelerates the client's progress by providing greater focus and awareness of choice. I have sometimes felt that the most valuable thing about coaching is the fact that this time slot was reserved once a week with the client for the client to step away from their day-to-day issues and step back and look at the bigger picture, to get more focused, more aware of their choices, more aware of what they really are trying to accomplish. Coaching concentrates on where the clients are now and what they're willing to do to get to where they want to be in the future. It recognizes that results are a matter of the client's intentions, not the coach's actions. They're a result of the client's intentions, the client's choices and actions. However, they're supported by the coach's efforts and the application of the coaching process. So how did it happen? It happened through using these coaching tools. In each meeting, the client chooses the focus of the conversation while the coach listens and contributes observations and questions. This interaction creates clarity, moves the client forward into action. See, coaching is essentially a conversation. It is about learning, yet the coach isn't a teacher. It's more about providing the right questions than providing answers. It's about change and transformation. It is about the client reinventing themselves. Having talked about that, one of the issues that one of the questions that frequently comes up is, well, how do you measure the ROI, the return on investment in coaching? And we've talked about that in the past at length, but I just want to touch on it briefly here. The ROI is measured not by the solutions that the coach brings to the conversation. The ROI is measured by the solutions that the client gets out of the coaching conversation. It is by the coach creating a different perspective, creating a opportunity for greater focus, by creating greater clarity around what the issues are. All of those things contribute to the client becoming more creative about coming up with the right solution to the problem. Well, hopefully all of that gives us sort of a summary definition around which we all need to build our own personal story of a successful coaching engagement. Let me just pause for a second there. Key phrase, our own personal story of a successful coaching engagement. People remember stories. People do not remember lists. They don't remember the 10 best things, the 5 worst things. They remember the interesting story that Paul told me about what happened on yesterday's radio show. Those are the kinds of things. So when somebody asks me what is coaching, I need to be able to tell them an interesting, compelling story that illustrates the points we just covered. In that way, they will understand and then remember what coaching really is, what it's about, and how it works, and be able to make a better decision about whether it fits them or not. You have to work to craft your own story of a successful coaching engagement. I think it's a great topic for a future show, and we're going to have one of those. I'm not sure I'm the right person to deliver it, but I know some great storytellers, and we're going to get them in here. If you're listening to this show and that is your specialty, crafting great stories, get a hold of me. Let's work something up on how coaches can craft just the right story that demonstrates what they do. Let's take a look at some of the details behind these statements that we talked about to make sure that we truly understand what coaching really means. Let's take the commercial first, and then we'll come back and get into the details of coaching.
This holiday, there's the kind of gift card you give out, then there's the kind of gift card that gives back. With 1OC's charitable giving cards, your company can give the gift of giving to employees, clients, friends, anyone you like. They, in turn, can use the card to make a donation to any local or national 501c3 charity of choice, while your company enjoys a tax deduction. Doing good is in the cards. 1OC Charitable Giving Cards. Call 714-953-5757 or visit 1oc.org.
Okay, and we're back from the commercial, and we're talking today about defining coaching. Defining it by what it is and what it does, rather than defining it by what it doesn't do and what it isn't. And we've talked about that. If you just tuned in late, go back and listen to the beginning on the podcast. Let's talk about some of the mechanics of what makes coaching really work. The key element of coaching is questions, and in particular, effective questioning in a conversation that best generates awareness and responsibility. You know, the function of questions is to elicit information. The information is, however, of secondary importance to the coach. It is more important to raise awareness with the coachee. So, in other words, the questions aren't to get the answer. The questions are to stimulate the thought process. The types of questions used are important. They should be open-ended questions, usually beginning with words like what, when, and how, and who. We discourage using why because it tends to be a judgmental question. You know, why did you do that? Why didn't you do something else? Sort of gets people to defend themselves. And coaching, by its very nature, is non-judgmental, and therefore we want to stay away from that. The questions start out in any coaching session fairly broadly, and then they, as the conversation builds and develops, then the questions get more detailed. They get more focused as we become more aware of what the issues are with the client. To maintain the focus and the interest of the coachee in order to bring into their consciousness things that otherwise might not be apparent. You know, the problem, especially in business coaching, is that all day long in a business environment, the issue is how quick can I get an answer to that problem that's sitting on my desk, to the person that just called, to the email that I just opened, to the letter that just came in. Typically in business, we are all about coming up with a quick answer. In coaching, we're not focused on a quick answer. We're focused on the thought process. The more we can focus on developing the thought process, exploring new perspectives, exploring different ways of thinking of things, the more likely the client will come up with a creative, unique solution that they maybe haven't thought of before. The client will come up with this, not the coach. The questioning, however, has to follow the client's train of thought. If they appear to be going way off track, then it's the coach's job to sort of bring them back, keep them on course. And my own observation is that when you are working with a client on really difficult issues, the closer you get to the heart of the issue, the more they tend to bring up subjects to get them off track. It's almost like they want to avoid getting to the heart of the problem. It might be painful. It might be difficult to admit that maybe I'm the problem here. Leading questions and implying criticism definitely is avoided. That is not what coaches do. The coach needs to be attentive to the answers, as this will quite often form the next question in the conversation and keep the flow of the conversation going naturally. So I'm listening to the answer to be able to frame the next question to make sure that we're on track and staying on topic. I'm not listening to the answer to see if it's right or wrong. That's up to the client. Frequently, I don't have the expertise in the client's issue to even make that determination. If we understand the questions, what should we ask and in what sequence? You know, there are a number of coaching models that sort of deal with this. Some of us just sort of intuitively ask questions. Some of us have a formal system by which we ask questions. One of the formal methods that I've seen work successfully is called the GROW method, the GROW model, G-R-O-W. The G is for the goal. The questions set the agenda for the session as long as the long-term goals. The R is for reality, which means the questions are constantly checking to explore the current situation to make sure that we're dealing with real-world situations. The O follows the options and alternative strategies or courses of actions. And the W is for what is to be done when and by whom, which is sort of forwarding the action to get the project going. So the GROW model is frequently a comfortable way if you're sort of struggling and getting used to this whole questioning method. You might just sort of keep track of, have you asked the G questions? Have you identified the goal for this session? Have you asked the R questions? Are you making sure that we're staying with reality, that we're talking about the staying on track? Have you asked questions that explore options and alternatives and different courses of action? Don't just grab the first one that comes up. And ultimately, when you've kind of narrowed it down and explored through those first three, then you get to the W, which is what's to be done, when, and by whom. You know, sometimes people ask, are your coaching results guaranteed? That would be nice if they were guaranteed. The problem is, I'm not the one doing the work. It's the client. I have a hard time guaranteeing your results. The client enters into coaching with the understanding, or needs to enter into coaching with the understanding, that they are responsible for creating their own results. The client is hiring the coach for the purpose of assisting them with respect to communication skills, business and personal objectives, assisting them in creating a structure for identifying and achieving goals and results. So the client is hiring the coach to bring the process to the problem solving, not to bring the solution to the problem. Big distinction there. Big distinction. It's been put simply in a million times in a way that we've all heard. Give a man a fish, you provide one meal. Teach him to fish, you've provided him a meal for a lifetime. Coaching provides the meal for a lifetime. It provides the process for creative thinking, for creative problem solving, for new perspectives, for different ways of thinking. Consulting provides an answer for a specific question. I want to work in the broader field. I want to work in the long-term field of coaching. Coaching focuses on helping another person learn in ways that let him or her keep growing after the coaching is done. It is based on asking rather than telling, on provoking thought rather than giving direction, and on holding a person accountable for working on their goals. Broadly speaking, the purpose is to increase effectiveness, broaden thinking, identify strengths and development needs, set and achieve challenging goals. That's what it's all about. You know, if you do like lists, let me just share. The Center for Creative Leadership has boiled down the skills managers need to coach others into five categories. And I just want to touch on them briefly as we sort of get ready to wrap up this discussion today. First category is building the relationship. It's much easier to learn from someone you trust. So coaches must effectively establish boundaries and build trust by being clear about the learning and the development objectives that they set, by showing good judgment, by being patient, by following through on any promises and agreements they make, and most of all, by honoring the confidentiality of the coaching agreement. So the relationship is needed. Two, providing assessment. The coaching process helps the client evaluate where are you now and where do you want to go. Many times that is the key element that people have asked me to coach them on. I'm not sure. The client comes and says, I don't know where I'm going next. I'm not even sure what I want. That becomes the topic for our coaching. Helping others to gain self-awareness and insight is a key job for the coach. You need to provide timely feedback. Help clarify behaviors that they would like to change or habits that they need to develop. Assessments often focus on gaps or inconsistencies in current performance versus desired results, words versus actions, intentions versus impact. The third area, challenge thinking and assumptions. One of the things that I think coaches in a business environment always bring to the leadership element of a company is somebody who is willing to challenge every single assumption that the client makes. The coach has no vested interest. You're not doing my performance appraisal. You're not giving me my next review. You're not going to, well, I guess you could fire me as your coach. But basically, the coach is thinking about the thinking that's going on. They're asking open-end questions, pushing for alternative solutions to problem, and encouraging reasonable risk-taking. The fourth is supporting and encouraging. Even when I don't have something to talk to my coach about, when I've got a scheduled coaching session and I'm sitting there beforehand struggling with what are we going to talk about today, I still never consider canceling the session because one of the things my coach always gives me is support and encouragement. And I'm not going to miss that. I need that plate of, hey, Doug, you're doing great. I need that unbiased but realistic feedback that says, you know, I'm looking at what you're doing and you're doing better than you think. So as partners in learning, the coaches listen carefully, are open to the perspective of others, allow people to vent without judging them, and encourage them to make progress towards their goals and recognize their successes. The coach is the party giver. The coach is the party organizer. The coach is the one that says, hey, wait a minute, stop. Let's pause and celebrate what you've just accomplished. We've been working on this for a long time. The coach, and the last key element here, is the person driving for results. Not by defining what the result is, but keeping the client on track. Effective coaching is about achieving goals, the client's goals. The coach helps the client set meaningful ones, helps them identify specific behaviors or steps that they want to take, helps them identify milestones or measures of success, and holds them accountable for achieving them. But the key thing in all of this is generated by the client. The coach is the guide. You know, as I was trying to think of a real-life coaching example, outside of coaches themselves, an example outside the coaching field where coaching is used, the one that came to me, and I haven't experienced this myself, but I've had others tell me about it, is sort of in the academic environment where somebody is working on their doctoral thesis. And the role, as I understand it, of the professor that's been assigned to work on this to work with the candidate, is one of helping the candidate to select a topic that's worthy of study, to define the topic sufficiently so that it can be fully developed, and to give feedback on how the progress is being made, and to hold the doctoral candidate responsible or accountable for making progress on this, and to encourage them in the moments of despair and darkness when they're ready to quit. And that's what a coach does. So that was the best example that I could think of outside the coaching field of real coaching really happening. And you know, that is the role that I want to play with my clients, the role of guide, the Sherpa to help them carry their load to achieve their objectives, not my objectives. Well, hopefully this has helped you with a better understanding of coaching. Hopefully my objective here today is the next time somebody says, what is coaching? Catch yourself. Don't start telling them what it isn't. Don't start telling them how it works. You know, tell them what it's going to do for them and do that with a great, compelling story that illustrates the impact that coaching has and the five whys and the one H that let you get there. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for our other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for interesting people to talk to, coaches, CEOs, HR professionals. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope you enjoyed the show today. The discussion has provided you with new perspectives on an old problem defining coaching, and that the information is such that you can put it to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening. You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business, a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.